All right, ready? All right, Tuesday, March 19th, 2019, Public Works Committee meeting. We've got staff, we've got Marlis, we've got some aldermen. Any citizens' comments? Thank you. Minutes for correction approval, February 19th?
Looks good.
Cool. All right, new business, Public Works 2019-13 Snow Operations Report.
Really pretty typical. Wasn't anything too heavy, just some little snows, light snows, and I'm preparing the final one for next month, hopefully.
Beautiful. Oh, he decides to join us. Mark it that Ken came in at 6:00:43. Moving on, new business number two, Fox Highlands Water Main, Raintree Village Water Main Interconnect Change Order Number One.
All right, this is the, should be the one and only. This is the balancing change order. We're closing out the project and the work is complete. So pretty substantial decrease in the contract. Just a lot of items ended up not using due to some changes made in the field to avoid some conflicts. Certainly can answer any other questions that anybody may have, but it's a decrease of $49,859.32.
Consent?
Mm-hmm. Can we get that on the next meeting, or is that two meetings from now? More for Eric or Paul, like whoever's doing the materials.
No, this is
ready to go.
Yeah,
March 26th then.
Yeah, 3/26. Yep. Yeah, should be ready to go. Okay. We've had all our meetings and he's signed off on everything.
Yes.
All right, Public Works 2019-15, Church Street Sanitary Sewer Improvements Engineering.
Yeah, this is our sanitary related Road to Better Roads program project. So there's a nice map at the end of the agenda item. So it's a block area in general. The fee is $13,000 for design engineering is fixed, and then the construction engineering estimate is $15,999. So in aggregate, that's more than $25,000 of staff approval. So we do recommend approval of this contract, and it is budgeted.
Comments?
Just one. Does this go by Carolee Kelly's house?
No, next block over.
She's the next block. I can't remember what she's on.
She's on West Main and King.
Oh, so she's not.
Yep.
Okay.
This is basically replacing a service for the duplexes that are right across in the park.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's like one service, little line, and we're going to replace it with a regular.
Okay. So oh, there, yeah, the blue dot.
So it's going to go up to an 8?
Yeah, it'll go to an 8, and then services for the units. There's one service right now that services all those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyone else? Consent?
That'll be the March 26th meeting again.
All right, Public Works 2019-16, 2019 Road to Better Roads Program Contract Award.
All right, we took bids on March 11th. There were four bidders that bid the project, which is one more than we normally get. Curran from DeKalb decided to bid this project, which is not normal. Bids were favorable. And deconstruction, once again, the low bidder. As noted in the memo, there was a section that's actually Bristol Township, roughly $38,000 worth. We're still working out the arrangement with Bristol Township. They haven't agreed to pay for that yet, and if they don't, then we'll just remove that from the contract. We are working with Fran, the county engineer, on that topic. But at this point, we're recommending award to a deconstruction in the amount of $624,997.07.
When you go through those unit prices, does it ever shock you that one company's unit price is a penny and one company's unit price is $5?
That's for the
bituminous?
The tap code, that's deconstruction is normal bid for that. They're the ones that kind of started that. Everybody else does not do that. They just
Current has a 1 cent as well.
Right.
But then you go to the next line item, the joint there, it's, you know, deconstruction has 10, builders has 20, and then you go to Geneva, there are 5. So you look at builders, they've got a significant difference between those two line items.
Right. Well, it's like trying to understand. I know builders has their own plant, yeah?
Correct.
But Geneva doesn't.
Yeah.
Don't they buy through builders?
No.
No, they have a plant in Aurora.
Oh, the Indian Trail in 25?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just trying to understand why, you know, D is always at the top. Like, and I get it. It's because they're already everywhere. But what's funny about that is just because they're everywhere doesn't mean that it's like a, it's not a good thing for those of us who have to drive around there. There's signs and stuff. So the comment that I always get is, how come D always wins the bids? They still finish the job. It just it happens to be signage, signs, other signs, pointing to other signs, and just stuff everywhere. So I'm always amazed at how they
kind of sloppy.
Yeah, incredibly sloppy is a good way to put it.
We've been trying to tighten them up on our projects and hold them to a much tighter schedule and have daily cleanup actually mean daily cleanup.
Cool.
Yeah, the other thing we did, we've had some, talking to Eric, we've had some issues with restoration, with deconstruction, and in fact we have 2 years that we have not closed out yet with them, so this year we're trying something a little bit different. We're actually trying sod and trying to improve that, so we'll see how it goes with D, but so we're trying different things to try to improve some of those loose ends.
Does that mean on our dime we're paying more per square foot because it's sod as opposed to seating, or how does that work?
Well, it is a little bit more, yes, absolutely. And it's not only a D problem, it's a...
Every...
It's a, yeah, any paving type of project problem. So, you know, Whispering Meadows,
yeah,
another example.
There.
So, you know, just to try to improve upon the performance and cut down on the complaints, you know, we're trying that this year to see how it goes.
And I believe in the specs, it has to stay alive for quite a long
correct.
Time to be yes. accepted. So it's
that's
in
correct.
Their best interest, otherwise they have to replace it at their cost. And that's what we're finding. They would come and do a quick landscaping job and then just say, we're out of here, and it just wouldn't grow.
Right.
So, no, we did it.
Right.
Now we have a little bit tougher spec.
Okay.
With the unit prices, do we ever call and verify that these are correct, that, you know, the 1 cent to the $5? You know, I can understand 1 cent to 75 cents, but 1 cent to $5. You know, you take the first two lines, it's $22,000. That puts them right in par with deconstruction for builders.
Sure.
I mean, do we ever check that to make sure that there's not an error or something on there, that they misunderstood the bid or...
You know, 1 cent is, we've seen this before from D multiple times, so, you know, they have the chance not to sign the contract if they
so choose. Well, it's just unusual. You have two bids that have 1 cent in that same line item.
Yeah.
And then a 75 cent and a
well,
the other, cents.
You know, it's difficult to fully understand where they put their overhead. Contractors throw overhead in all sorts of different numbers. They got mobilization, they got insurance, they got all, you know,
traffic control,
yeah, traffic
landscaping,
control.
Those
all
are the normals.
Yeah, yeah. So all those items above and beyond, like the work item itself, contractors throw them in all sorts of different numbers. So that's what you.
I don't know if you've seen this with these bidders before in terms of that kind of spread, because that
absolutely.
Usually something that far raises a red flag of a discrepancy of the bid.
Deconstruction bids 1 penny a pound on every one of their bids for tack coat.
Yes.
Okay. See the same thing for like a state project, didn't they get that?
They get a lot of them. I don't know if they bid a penny on that, but on ours for the last however many years, it's been a penny a pound.
All right. Not much we can do about the results. I mean, it is the way that it is. We have the protections in place to at least expect a higher finishing product for the grass, but in their quotes, they don't have mobilization in there, do they?
No, that's just, it's not a separate pay item, so therefore it's spread across the work items.
Okay.
Yes.
Okie dokie. Consent okay? Do you want to talk about it? And then this goes to April?
This goes to April or May, whatever, after the budget's approved, correct? But this is contingent.
Well, our specifications allow, or they cannot start before May 1. So we can award the contract, which is what we've done in years past, but the work cannot start until after May 1.
If the materials are done, it can go on next week's city council agenda.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to wait.
If not, it'll be on the next one.
Yeah. All right. All right, number five, Public Works 2019-17, Box Hill, Unit 7, easement abrogation.
All right, there's a memo in the plat of easement abrogation exhibit. So what had happened is that during the building process in Fox Hill Unit 7, it was discovered after the foundation was constructed that there was an encroachment into a couple city easements. So staff had sat down with the builder, and there was a number of issues. This was one of them, but we had worked out that in these areas, especially in lot 5, it was not necessary. Their encroachment, it wasn't necessary to maintain that full easement. It was a small area that they encroached, so staff felt it was acceptable to. Basically, what this plat does is it gives away the easement rights for this small area. There was a an area of concrete that approached into the easement. So therefore, instead of having them rip it out and move the foundation, we felt this was an appropriate move to allow them to continue. On lot 12, there was, due to some grading issues, they needed to install a retaining wall and be able to make the slopes be more adequate and what have you. And again, from the staff perspective, we didn't feel this was a big issue. There weren't any major city utilities in the easement or planned in easement, so giving up a portion of that easement was also acceptable to staff. So at this point, the plat has been signed by the utility companies, and from our perspective, we're recommending that the city approve and also allow the mayor and clerk to sign.
Illinois Bell. So do we have, are you guys making more frequent visits out there to ensure that this isn't going to happen in future lots, or how do we prevent this from continually happening?
Yeah, I think we've been out there. It's not uncommon to, you don't, and Pete can speak to more of this, but he certainly isn't out there shooting locations of foundations.
Right.
But after a foundation is in, then you typically do checks, and that's when this was discovered. It was discovered before everything went vertical, so there were solutions in place to solve the problem here. But we have definitely been out there quite often. There's been a number of issues. I know Eric was speaking to a few before the meeting. Erosion control, water and sewer connection issues, and just general construction practice items. But I know we've been out there quite a bit. I know Eric's been out there a lot. Pete certainly has been out there a great deal. We're trying to get control over the situation.
Now, when you, I know we've had conversations about the EEOPC. Is that something where future projects regarding this particular company might have a higher estimated cost to the city for the amount of, like, I don't want to call it babysitting, but there's a lot, it seems like there's a lot of attention over there for not only a very large project. So is that something that you factor into the next, like, whenever you do
sure.
an estimated, you know, cost of engineering, is that something that you factor in for this particular company so that maybe what they're putting down as far as a down payment is higher because they are taking up more of your time?
We have not had that conversation with Christy at all. When the time is right, when the next project comes in, potentially we'll talk about it and go from there.
We have had conversations with this developer for his next project to possibly shop around and use contractors that do this on a daily basis.
Residential, right.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys have any other comments? Consent okay for you guys?
Mm-hmm. March 26th. It's okay for that one?
Sweet. All right, PW 2019-18, Wyland National Mayor's Challenge for Conservation.
This will be the second year that we've taken this challenge on. It was a lot of fun last year. We worked a lot on social media, on our website, and we even reached out to one school and did a presentation, and I think that really boosted us up into fifth in the nation for our population category. So they have taken away the car this year. The car was a prize last year. The car this year will actually go to the government or the agency, not-for-profit agency, whoever wins in that community. And then the individual will get a check for money towards their utility bills, be it gas, electricity, or water. So they changed it up a little bit this year. We didn't do a resolution last year. I'm proposing to do a resolution just to get it out there in the press a little bit more that we're doing this, make it a little bit more formalized. So this will take place the entire month of April, so you'll be seeing lots of posts and lots of fun facts online.
Cool.
Anybody has any questions?
Anybody recall how many participants the city had last year?
I don't.
I don't remember either.
So this kind of goes against the idea that we make money off our water.
it's a balance. Well, we don't make money off of our water.
Oh, that's right.
It goes back.
Under any circumstances,
right.
Yes. It all gets reinvested.
It always gets used
system.
Again. Yes. Yes.
We're not a profit-driven entity. All those sorts of things.
We got to stop calling it revenue.
Sure.
It's synonymous. So, like, if we're
Rob's
not a
Rob's phone.
This is all Rob. We should put Rob's photo when we post it. No, I'm cool with it. Not on consent. Is that okay with you guys?
Yes.
Sure. March 26th is okay?
Sure.
Okay, great.
NB number 7, 2019-19 Hanging Baskets.
The rejuvenation of the program. Wanted to start small. And in looking at it, I had talked to Christy about using light posts downtown, and she has those taken with wayfinding signs. So we thought maybe we'll be able to put these on the buildings. And I talked to both owners, Boyd, and with Mike Mann of Imperial Investments, and they were both more than happy to let us use their buildings. As long as we put it up there, we maintain it, and you know, we water the flowers.
So there's nothing we can do on 47?
I looked. You could go up like between Van Emmon and Fox. There's 4 streetlight poles. Mm-hmm. I just started small with 8 down here to see how it goes, to see if there's more interest. Working with Winding Creek for the flowers, they said there would be no problem. The one thing that they did ask, though, is that we get them the baskets as soon as possible so they can have them ready.
I think it could probably be expanded beyond what we've got listed in there. Just we were trying to at least get everybody to buy in for the sponsorship wise, just with those to start. Then as we do our beautification initiatives here in the next year, that would be something that we could take a look at.
So was this previously budgeted as part of a plan, last year's budget, or the next coming budget?
Yes, I think it. Both, actually.
It was in last year's budget.
It was or it wasn't?
It was
okay.
Shown. We do have it in this year's budget. It's revenue neutral, so there's no budget impact. But we planned to do it last year, and I don't remember if it was because of the wayfinding signs or if it was just, you know, general busyness and we didn't get around to it or if the project closed out or what.
It was timing, I think, with ordering the flowers. Got started way too late last year.
That sounds right, yeah.
So you're going to put one on, you said, on law office, on the building.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern is that's a brick building,
mm-hmm.
and it gets lots of sun there. It's going to be hard to maintain one there.
True.
So it's something when you're on the buildings, so you have to kind of take that in consideration. If we have a hot summer, they're going to have that heat coming off.
Yes, they will. And maybe we look at points that the law office may be the only one where we could put it on the 47 side, just because of there's no height restriction there. Most of the other ones have awnings and overhangs where we couldn't do it high enough. So we can look for a shadier spot. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I just know.
Yep. Especially they are wave petunias that we were looking at getting.
Yeah, and they
like the shade more than the bright blazing sun.
So it's just a thought because of it. You know, that is a sunny location.
Very much so.
Actually, even the ones over by the tea room, and that might be.
Yeah, that I took a look at closer, and we may have to move that over to the old theater building. There's a little kind of patio concrete area where we may be able to put it on the mm-hmm. theater building, because I think the massage studio has their sign out on the front mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll work with the individual mm-hmm. owners down there too to place it, so it's not like blocking their view or mm-hmm. where their yeah, customers
that,
sit.
I just know that he's in the sun most of the day. And if it's a hot summer,
yeah,
great.
It's gonna be fried pie.
I know that Crusade is, you know, flower friendly, but I mean, it's like we only have it relegated to Van Emmon. So I mean, if that's something that we can throw.
Like Bart said, yeah, absolutely. We can probably expand. You know, and on the north side of their building would probably be a pretty good location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the intent for the first year was to keep it off of the light poles, mm-hmm. not only because of the wayfinding issue, but because of the manpower and safety issue too, of having to block off traffic to water flowers, which is, you know, a little time intensive and safety problematic. So we figured let's at least get it rolling with on building, and then kind of figure out, you know, what other far-reaching places we can take
some
next
flower
year.
Boxes on the railing that goes like this.
Yeah,
that could you be really one of those aesthetic improvements.
Maybe they might detract from them.
That may be where Bart's artificial flowers come into play, though, because I don't think there's a flower known to man that would stand up to that constant truck wind all day.
Yeah.
And they would be fed by cigarette butts.
Yeah. And road grime. And
road grime.
Yeah.
Well, then you wouldn't be watering them, you'd be hosing them off.
Synthetic flowers are a great option.
Oh, I'm with you.
They can look as good as real flowers.
They make some really nice ones. Mm-hmm.
They survive.
It's just they just don't usually last one season, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. They tend to bleach out. But when you're looking at a couple hundred bucks for one pot versus, you know, $100 for a pot, but you save all the man hours of having to maintain it, mm-hmm. so nobody can tell the difference.
At 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
45. It's 35.
Yeah, I was being honest.
Ah,
it's 55. Yeah.
All right, yeah. No, I'm always having slightly ways to.
Did you ask Mrs. Browner if she'd like one?
Did not yet. I did not ask Janet, no. Can we order these as soon as possible? Will that be.
Yes.
Okay. Those, that way I can get them to the nursery.
Yeah, I mean, even if nobody sponsors them, I think that's a, you know,
for
a small dollar amount, we can try it. So,
yes. Okay. All right, consent okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, new business number 8, which is 2019-20 utility box art. I, as you guys know, I sell drugs in Aurora. And a lot of the work that I do is centered around the downtown, and one of the things that their director of public art, Jennifer Evans, did last year was she put together a program to have all of the utility boxes around town painted by specific artists that either have a connection to Aurora or are from Aurora. And the first couple people that did it, people were kind of wondering what the heck's going on, didn't really make much sense. But by the time the 4th and the 5th and the 6th and the 7th box got painted, and me knowing like four of the artists personally, it's like, that's actually really cool. So number one, it slows down traffic a little bit. Number two, every individual box is unique to that particular corner or intersection or wherever it might be. And the way that the city of Aurora did it based on, I think she sent me 1,000 emails with examples. But then I asked for just specifically, they do an artist contract, which, you know, release and waiver of liability.
Sure.
They did the full press release, which they had people who had never been to a city website before actually clicking on links, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it ends up doing is now we have a direct relationship with local artists, so when we're actually talking about mural work, maybe we have now a Rolodex that's kind of developing itself. So not just limiting it to local artists, but basically anyone who wants to kind of, you know, throw out their ideas. What's cool is they basically have like a casting call, then they have a deadline, but then they allow people to sponsor it. But the beautiful thing about projects like this is that you can just say, no, you're not getting paid for it, and we're not paying for your supplies. You just have to let us know what you're going to do, and we can yay or nay it. I have 1,000 things to send you. I can send them to you and Christy, and it might be something we talk about on EDC to kind of hammer out all of the specifics. But you end up having like one point of contact who is a person who's participating, but then they become kind of the curator.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than using staff time, we allow someone in the Yorkville area, and I've got three people in mind right now, which I can recommend if you'd like, who have already talked to me personally about, hey, can we do something about kind of livening up downtown? And we know that murals aren't always the first thing you want to do. I mean, we can't go right ahead and paint that grain bin, but the idea is to, let's start small. And by doing this, we build the Rolodex. And when you build the Rolodex, when these people have ideas, number one, people who are not involved in government are now going to be attending meetings to say, hey, I want to be able to do this, so I can say, hey, that's my utility box. So we increase the communication between people who don't normally attend city meetings. But again, we build the Rolodex, and then as we're talking about all the stuff with our, you know, 5,000-page documents for the downtown beautification programs, we have actual specific artwork that might be able to go on some of the buildings that we have down there. And it's cool what they did is they kind of took a an average utility box,
mm-hmm.
and they threw it out. And then when you're submitting your thing, just use this template as a rough approximation of the average utility box. And then you can kind of go for it. But then you'd see, like, there's one on Downer near River. And I don't know, And I know the last name of the artist is Sunderland. But she was out there, painted the whole box white. And then over the course of, like, the next 3 weeks would do little lines. And then all of a sudden there'd be little petals on it. So over the course of, like, a month and a half. And this is while all these festivals are going on. People are walking by going, what is this going to be? And then, boom, it was a full flower garden. And then the owner of the Yeti did one on Broadway and Downer, and his is like video gamey, but you see people taking pictures with it, which, and, you know, my friend Sam did the Aurora, the Hope Wings, down there on La France Bakery on Galena Boulevard, which the building faces east, but it's on the westbound lane. You have people stopping and taking pictures with it. I mean, this has the wings, so people are actually in the photo, but you see a lot more engagement, and people aren't just walking to their cars anymore. There's a little stop and see. And then allowing people to put their little, you know, tag or their Instagram handle or their website somewhere on the box so that they can get more recognition. This is probably one of the easier ways to, number one, not have to worry about rusted utility boxes. Two, people take ownership of the things that they're allowed to kind of tag on. But then three, we now have a direct line of communication with a group of people that the city is normally not in communication with, which, so when we do festivals, maybe instead of a hometown day is just being something that we kind of design on Microsoft Word and a staff member's doing it, we offer that up to, you know, people that are in our art community, which we didn't even know existed until we said, hey, come paint my box. So I'll send all of this to you, and then you can discuss it with Christy, and then if it's okay with you, we can talk about it in EDC. Because, like, I'm telling you, some of the stuff that people are coming up with just to slow life down a little bit, this is one of the easier ones, and then it's at no cost to us. Yeah, we're going to spend a couple hours talking about it. But again, we find that curator. He leads the project. We just yay or nay it. And then usually we end up spending more time talking about the things that we enjoy and have input on. So this would be one thing where the conversation might be fun to talk about. But again, finding these people in the community and having them attend meetings, maybe one of these days we'll have an artist for a mayor. I think that'd be pretty freaking cool. So that's why I wanted to throw it on the agenda. So.
I think it's a good idea. I like it. The only question I got then, how long have they been doing it anymore?
It happened last year. This is the second year.
So do you get in situation? So someone here has to say, that's like, who decides what is allowed and what's not?
Well, they would have to show you, like, so we can come up with like a set of specific design guidelines. Okay, it can be anything, or it can be on 47. If it's the one in front of Van Emmon or in front of the law office, all right, it's got to have a Y for Yorkville. It's got to have a musical component. You can kind of lay out those things if you want, or you can say it's up to the curator, but you have the ability to nix anything that is.
What happens if there's difference of opinions?
That's why you have.
I'm worried about like that gang thing.
Oh, there wouldn't be a gang thing because you have an art director and any gang graffiti.
But, okay, well, I didn't know if there was a mechanism for dealing with that kind of stuff.
You just cover it up and then
okay. They
can repaint. I mean, that's you always run that risk.
Right.
But the majority,
depending on what you're talking about, I can see it happening.
Sure. Well, the majority of the boxes in Aurora, I'll tell you, because of the artwork that's on the boxes, nobody's throwing stickers on them, nobody's tagging them
okay.
because they're actually pretty cool. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, fine art. So, I mean, it's not something that somebody's going to look at who's, you know, in the age of vandals that's going to go, oh, that sucks, and they're going to do something to it. Everything that's been done downtown Aurora that Jen Evans and Mike Mancuso curated has been incredibly well received.
So it's just another opportunity to take things that we don't always look at and say, okay, yeah, go ahead. It's kind of like, you know, they had the bulldogs in Batavia, they had, you know, the cows and the dogs in Chicago. Well, this is something that's already going to be there, and we're not talking about making them less of anything. They're still useful. It's still a utility box. But now we've got little splashes of color everywhere, kind of like our flower pots, but something that we can kind of have a little bit more say over. The weather won't impact it. And it's something else you can share on social media that somebody will take ownership. Hey, they took a picture of my utility box, and now you've got engagement in areas that you didn't before. So there's, you know, 7 or 8 different areas where just painting a utility box kind of creeps into. I think the long-range plan for Yorkville is, yeah, we know we've got a lot of empty space behind Rowdy's in the law office, but we're working with what we get. And I think that's one of the reasons why people talk about, well, just at St. Patty's on Saturday, after the parade, I was walking back to get a hot dog, and I overheard a guy tell another couple guys who were drinking out front of SOB's that he came last year, he'd never been to Yorkville, and it just seems like there's always something cool happening. If you look at if you look at the empty properties behind Casa, and or in front of Casa and behind Rowdy's, you might think there's nothing going on. So I think we have to use whatever inexpensive tool we can to remind people that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So I'm anything that we can do that's cheap and is actually pretty cool, I'm down for. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Cool?
Yeah.
All right, now the fun one. Public Works 2019-21 speed sign update.
What do you want to know about speed
signs? So when you shared with me that there was a person, the fastest person going northbound was 66 miles an hour.
That's still the record.
I was worried about that.
But I'm checking right now. This was that seems to be like the fastest of the last 2 to 3 weeks.
And I know there was a 61 in Sunflower on a right before you come to a right angle turn.
Wow.
Because remember, we had the trailer out there. Mm-hmm. And somebody one person just I think they were doing just
to, yeah.
Yes,
it's not a game. But there's the fact that we've invested in this technology and we have the data available to us, it's just something that we don't have to put it on the agenda, but it is interesting to know.
We still have 4 waiting to be deployed.
Two. We have 2 on Kennedy and 2 on Cannonball. Okay. So we have 2, 1 of which is, I'm in the process of going back and forth and trying to get it repaired. It's not sending out a signal. But we will have another set. And we can put Kennedy's anywhere too. That we put those up there to get more traffic counts.
I think the intent was is that we'd have at least a couple that would kind of rotate through the subdivisions.
Absolutely.
The year.
And just, we wanted to test it out, try and put them up, see how hard it was. We think we found a decent way.
I noticed there's officers been sitting on Van Hemmen by the park, and that would be an interesting place. I don't know what's there.
The baseball field right there.
Yeah.
Usually hide right behind
the spot.
Or in.
Yeah.
Was that Kendallwood Estate?
Right, they pull right in there. Yeah. I was surprised at how many cars there were on both those roads. Mm-hmm. Cannonball Trail's like almost 7,000 to 7,200 a day.
Wow.
And right now it looks like Kennedy is between 5,500 and 6,000 a day, maybe 6,500 on a busy day.
Good Lord.
It's a lot of traffic.
Isn't 12,000 like the threshold for a 4-lane highway, according to IDOT?
No, it's up a little bit more than that.
Okay.
It's up probably closer to 20,000 a day.
Okay.
Hey, Eric, was there a Sunday peak on Cannonball at about 12:30?
I will look. I did just pull up Kennedy, though, and
I was going to say, on Cannonball, I came through right as Trix let out. And,
yeah. We broke the 80-mile-an-hour barrier on Kennedy. So somebody figured out.
See, that's what I didn't want to learn, but I knew it was going to happen.
Well, 80, 81, 70, 63, 61, 60.
What time of day are those?
Those are 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
School just got out.
You're probably absolutely right.
Well, I think I told you I came that way one day from work. And this person was just mad that I was doing the speed limit. And I couldn't even see like the front of the car. So I just started going slower.
Yep.
So I'm doing the speed limit. Good deal.
Average, I'm back on Cannonball now. The average speed on Cannonball is 40 miles an hour. And the 85th percentile speed average is 45.
I knew that in Sunflower, like, it was just that one, and everybody else was like, I have to speed limit 35.
The recommended speed limit where these signs are is 25.
Oh.
In the curve. These are their place right before the curve.
And we did notice when it was pouring that one day, they don't really work at all. So the it was going 29, 42.
Raindrop hit it.
And there was like nobody driving. I'm like, damn, that rain is falling.
Yeah, raindrop hit it.
So. I didn't think about that.
Right. Yeah, I would assume that it would just work.
Like, yeah.
You're looking at a large mass of something. And my wife points out, oh, we're going 29. No, I'm not going 30. Okay, it doesn't work. So that was going from 47 south.
Southwest.
So that was the one that was just a little bit wonky, or it just, you know, it was raining too hard. But
I think it was probably raining too hard because I'm on that one right now. And there's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, because when it goes from 29 to 42, 29 right. to 42, there's not two cars doing that. One
could have just put a drop of water right on the right. little sensor and only part of it's getting through.
That's pretty heavy rain, though. And that would hurt. All right. Yeah, I just think that since we were paying for the technology, it's always interesting to learn that, hey, our original estimates that were traffic counts on Gannibal were way higher.
Yeah, that's why I was very excited to go. We can use them all over town for traffic counts.
That's over there. All right, old business. East Alien Van Emmon.
We do have a more detailed cost estimate and a narrative timeline. The one thing that I had mentioned to Joel and that I have not done yet is I think it would be a good idea to poll the business owners down there and property owners just to see, you know, between all the options we've talked about and the one that we're recommending, you know, where their kind of final vote sits. If they're okay with this one, but maybe they prefer another one, or like they hate this one and they want another one. I talked to the Capitano's owner a couple weeks ago. He said that he would really prefer that entire back alley to be closed. That way he's got some green space and pedestrian space there over any of the other options. So I said, okay, that's, you know, news to me. And so I figured, you know, before we actually do anything, it might be a good idea to just give them an opportunity for some formal input before we authorize it. I mean, it's the improvement itself is within staff authority. Mm-hmm. We can probably find the money to do it once everybody says go on it. I just figured, you know, you've got members of the public that think one thing, you've got patrons that actually go down there and use it, they think another thing, and then you've got the business owners and property owners that are down there, so you've got a bunch of different stakeholder groups.
Sure.
That maybe we should continue to poll.
I did reaffirm with Don.
Okay.
And they still like option two, I believe, which was the short
loop.
And BJ, I talked to him, Capitano, he said if not fully closed, he liked the long loop.
Okay.
Three. Boyd basically says, I don't care, two or three.
Okay.
And then Emily wrote me back. I'm looking at hers right now. She just wrote me back today.
You did my work for me. Thank you.
She liked three, I think it was. Emily Weber.
Okay.
Number two and three are the best options, and number three is the best. I think three is the long line.
And three is the one that we had recommended.
Yeah. Three is the long
line. The long one.
So they all basically
consented to it in some way or another.
Okay. They like two and three, and I don't think that Mark and Don would care two or three, just so there's...
Sure.
Yeah, I don't want to close anything off off of hydraulic, but yeah, it was pretty dicey there on Saturday. The one thing, the driveway, you have it marked as R&R. Does that mean remove and regrade, or what does it stand for?
Remove and replace.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that has heaved over the last maybe 7 weeks. Just the Wednesday before we talked about it the first time, going slow, I was fine. This last Wednesday when I went through, it was totally ripped up the front of my car, so that has heaved quite a bit. So as long as you're ripping that out. And then down towards the bottom, you're gonna put the steel bollards in the ground to protect their property? Or what are bollards?
Yeah, that was the thought next to the building, yes. For a series of buildings there.
And then we would move the yellow stake, whatever, and that would then be paved right there.
Yes.
Over a corner of concrete, though.
It's kind of a field engineering decision. We'll work it out in the field. But we'll make it certainly as safe as we can.
All right, so that sounds like direction then to proceed. Everybody's okay with that option three?
Yeah,
okay.
I know what they want.
It does require consent from Imperial Investments, who owns that vacant property. So they have verbally said that it'd be okay, so we just have to prepare the materials and get final sign-off. I don't know whether it will require an easement. Have you thought about that? Or like a memorandum?
I think that's part of a easement swap with them for the 10-foot strip on the west side of the Farm Bureau.
Okay,
yeah.
So that may be city council approval then here in the next month or two, depending on when materials can get completed. So we will set on that path.
Cool. So we're giving them 10 feet on the west side of their Farm Bureau?
It's already there. I think we're just solidifying it and putting it on a document.
It was like a plat clarification.
Right, it was in the written basically, but I don't think it made it onto the plat document. And that was always the intention. It was 10 foot around the entire building when we did that parking lot.
Any additional business? Is there anything we can do to speed up 34? And then by 34, I mean both. All three.
Well, little update. I saw deconstruction was out doing more curb today, and they were doing the low mountable curb. Then they'll switch to they call the B624, the bigger curb, and then they'll start with the turn lanes. So that one's going to go a lot quicker than.
So Casey's east.
It's going to go quicker than you're probably thinking. West, they are firing on all cylinders right now. They've got the pavement almost out. The bridge decking, I saw they have framing around that, so they're getting ready for some concrete there, which is tremendous. Sound walls, I saw more pilings were there for the sound walls, which is good. They had a little problem with AT&T line being not where it was supposed to be. But
that's the one in front of Fox Hill?
Fox Hill and right now in front of the nursing home right down here. They had a little problem with AT&T, so they got that all straightened out. They were removing curb again today down there, so they're hopping. That one's going to be slower than you'd like.
Sure.
Especially with Cannonball closed to the south and Sycamore at the same time. It's going to be a little hectic at first, but in the end, that'll probably save 2 weeks of construction time easily. That one may end up like this one was last year, though. I wouldn't be surprised. That's a lot of work on that south side. Mm-hmm. It was about 65% of the project, they thought.
And then the shared use path is on the north side?
For the most part, it's on the north side. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, over the bridge, over the creek.
It should be south side.
That's on the south.
South side by Kritzberg's there.
Isn't there a sidewalk on one and a shared use on the other? Or is it just a shared use?
I don't know about in that area. Most of the other is just a shared use because they're actually taking up the sidewalk and putting it on the north side by Kendall Marketplace.
Right. See, I thought it was on the north side because then you... have to cross the road.
Mm-hmm. I remember something where they had to.
We had this conversation, right?
Across.
At Game Farm, it goes to the south side of the road.
Yeah.
Goes all the way to Cannonball. Then it goes back north because the county will not give land.
Right. Yeah.
So it's only one side across the entire.
Yeah. Yes. And there's a dead end sidewalk on the north side, west of the creek.
We went over this because I wanted to change.
Right.
I didn't want the jog.
Yeah.
And IDOT couldn't figure out a way without us contributing another $150,000.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you're at McDonald's, you're walking.
At McDonald's, you're on the north side. You get to Game Farm, you go across the street.
Cross.
Then you go down, then you cross again at Cannonball, and you go straight.
Okay. But I mean, that makes more sense with school traffic too. So it's like, that's fine. But
well, sort of. It depends on which way you want to look at it in terms of how many times you're going to cross.
It's just crossing 34 is never. It's never a good idea to cross the highway with a trail, but
since you make
it is.
Twice, exactly.
But we're
you're
using the trail.
Twice.
We'll be able to go. You'll be able to go from almost Sandwich to.
Another question on 34. So we've had an issue with the lights out there since a lot of the guy wires that they have on the bottom side have snapped, and so these signs.
They were just reinstalling them today.
They fixed, because I didn't see it this afternoon, but I saw it this weekend that was an issue. A lot of the lights were flipping up.
Agreed.
Couldn't see the lights.
I relayed that. One thing of note is the original resident engineer is not there anymore.
Okay.
So now there is a new resident engineer taking
it. So they're picking
over.
Up on these things, hopefully.
Yes.
And then the other, can we do anything to work with synchronizing the lights a little better? Getting through town has become atrocious with the random signal timings.
I will definitely, like, you're just talking 34 ways?
34 west.
Right.
The eastbound is one thing. It's 47 west.
Yeah, it's going to be atrocious. It's going to be atrocious until probably maybe next week till they can work it out with the closing of, right. But it needs to be retimed. Yes. So hopefully after they close down Cannonball, close down Sycamore, we'll be able to get, they'll be able to optimize it because it'll be a much more free pattern of 34 with those two out of commission.
I'm gonna
ask them to add some time to Beecher Road because Beecher's gonna be a much busier road with Cannonball out. So,
yeah.
How long's closure?
30 days.
Oh, that
long?
Yeah.
By contract, 30 days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It could be less.
Could be less.
Yes.
No, last year when they did Center Parkway, it was 40 days. So these are actually 10 days short. Hmm.
Just to get back to the original question, no, we can't force them to complete the project quicker. We've expressed displeasure. We're happy to forward complaints whenever they come in. On the most recent Facebook post we did, we included IDOT District 3's office phone number there too. So I would definitely encourage you to have residents call that number and express displeasure when it's received, because they, you know, they take it into account like we do. So, you know, the more complaints they get on issues, you know, they can either respond to them and provide some facts, or maybe move the project a little quicker too.
So that closure then, is there going to be some kind of signage at 47 in Cannonball saying that you can't get through?
No.
No?
Not that I'm aware of.
So someone would think they can cut through and it's closed off down there, they're going to drive all the way down there to find out.
You can go from 47 to 34, you just can't go south of 34 in Cannonball.
Right, you have to take one the other way.
Just the south leg is going to be closed.
So to get tacos from my house, you're saying that I could go into the parking lot to Erica, take Erica at the 34, and could then go east on 34.
Mm-hmm. Or you can take the parking lot to Beach or go across and just go back to Johnson.
Yes.
Secret passageway portion.
That's one other good item of note is the engineer that took over this job was one of the engineers on 47, so he's very familiar with Yorkville, familiar with us, and how that, and he knows that we want to get it done quickly.
Just all of this, even though I don't travel the road because I've learned to avoid it over the last 4 years, when 47 North starts.
Yeah, this is a precursor to 47 North.
All of our lives who live on the north side is going to suck.
Don't feel sorry for you.
No, I don't expect it. But
you're going to go through it again. 71 is going to start up too.
Yeah. They're already doing weird stuff on 71.
They're getting all the right of ways ready.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been clearing trees and from.
They moved all the gas main. They moved the gas main.
They're clearing, like, by the campground entrance. It must be something with the utilities above ground. And then they make the turn onto 71. Then they were going across the one day. They had to cross, so I came at lunch because I don't know, they were doing something.
Mm-hmm.
They took a lot of trees, so I don't know who's. It's on a different company working on it. It's not Ash Blund or.
No, it's a. I can't remember.
That's
the new contract. It's not Ash Blund anymore.
Honestly, they were much neater and they're doing a much nicer job on the trees. They're not hacking.
The new companies?
Yeah, that was kind of more.
Yeah, if it's part of the
contract for 47 North, it's going to be more of the same, more of the same.
They probably will get it.
Yeah, they had everything like nicely, neatly stacked, came the next day, was gone. And the trees aren't all hacked in the daylights.
The one thing I will say is even with deconstruction, with Plody being here, that we're getting great prices. I mean, incredible prices, which is. It's good for companies. It's good for everybody.
Yeah. Anything else? Any adjourn?